As the saying goes, there's an app for that, and truly, there is an app for nearly anything you can imagine. Now, a new company is utilizing an app on your phone to solve a global problem, the issue of food waste. Approximately 31% of overall food supply in the U.S. is wasted every year. Imagine if some of that wasted food could be saved from landfills and instead go to people struggling with hunger. Well, that's the goal of a new app called Too Good To Go, and it's fun to use as well. And another app could revolutionize the way we get around. It's called Waymo. Their autonomous taxis have arrived in our local area, and they seem to be drawing strong feelings, both pro and con. We talked to a representative for Waymo about how they roll, and also discussed with disabled users how the self-driving taxis could make the road safer for everyone. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. As we said, there's an app for everything these days, and the one we're about to talk about is a triple threat. With the tap of a button, you not only get a treat, but help the problem of food waste and enjoy the excitement of a surprise. So is it too good to be true? Nope, but it is too good to go. Joining us is Sarah Sodaroff with TooGoodToGo.com. And good to see you. Thanks for joining us. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your app and how it works?
Well, thank you so much for having me. We are the world's largest marketplace for selling surplus food. So what we do is we connect businesses, any kind of food selling business. It can be grocery store, convenience store, anything that has surplus food can put it on our app. Consumers can purchase it for about one third off the retail cost. The goal is to help reduce food waste and the impact of it on the environment, but businesses also get a little bit of extra money that they'd otherwise have to throw away, and consumers get great food at a low cost.
So let's talk about the idea of surplus food. I mean, we don't generally go into a restaurant and think about all this extra food. We just look on the menu and get what we want. So surplus food?
Yeah, surplus food happens at every level. It can be manufacturing, restaurant, grocery, home. It can mean anything from, say you go to a pizza restaurant and not all those pizzas that are in the front window get sold every day. That food can go onto our app, but it can also be grocery items. So when you go to the grocery store and you're seeing all the lettuce, all the produce, all of those items that don't get sold, those can go onto our app too. I don't think we think about how much surplus there is, but 40% of all of the food that we produce in this country goes to waste, which is a ton.
Yeah, but you know, when we talk about food waste, there's lots of things that you could put under that multiple choice issue. To you, food waste is...
Food waste is anything that is consumable that doesn't get consumed. So it can even be like the rest of the lettuce that you bought at the grocery store, you brought home, and you didn't get to those last three leaves. It can be when you don't take home your leftovers at the end of the meal when you're dining out. It can be when you go to a grocery store and you only pick up, you know, you pick up four avocados, but you only needed three. So it's really everything. And I think what we're trying to do, the work we're trying to do, is just raise that consciousness and then also give people a really workable solution to both sell it and then purchase it so that we're lessening that impact on the environment.
I've looked at your app and it looks a little bit like a, you know, like one of those Grubhub or DoorDash kind of apps. You got the restaurants on there and that sort of thing. But there's no delivery.
No.
And it's not all restaurants, right?
It's not all restaurants. So food waste happens at every single level. So it can be we work with convenience stores across the city. We have over 1,000 restaurants across LA. And what we're working with them on is different categories. So you might go to a grocery store and get a prepared food bag, but you could also get a produce bag. You could get a pressed juice bag. It can be anything.
But how does it work? I mean, I saw something in there was sort of like a grab bag, like a mystery thing, right?
Food waste is unpredictable, as you're alluding to. And what we have, our product is called the surprise bag. So what happens is the business puts the value of the food that they have. You'll see within the app the total value of what you're purchasing, and then you'll see the discounted amount. All you pay is that discounted amount. It's in bold, in green on the app, so you can't miss it. You'll get a little description, and we encourage our partners, we're working with our partners to ensure those descriptions are pretty accurate. It'll tell you it'll be stuff that didn't get sold. It might be a lasagna and a pizza, or it might be, you know, different kinds of raw items that aren't sold yet. you go and you reserve an app, and then you physically pick up in store.
It's interesting to me. You know, I've always sort of wondered, at restaurants, at the end of the day, you've got all this extra food. Why doesn't it go, for instance, to the homeless?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. It's a great question. There are a lot of rules and restrictions around what happens to that food when it doesn't get purchased. A couple barriers to this is, number one, sometimes there's just not enough. So food banks and those who are working to help it with solving the food insecurity problem need a huge volume of food. Getting that food there, the mechanism for delivering it every day is also limited. What we solve for is kind of that middle area of food. So the amount that isn't big enough to be donated, but also isn't small enough that you would feel good throwing it away. It's kind of a, you know, $10 to $15 to $20 amount, and consumers can come and pick that up. Similarly, if you are looking for lower cost items, this is a really great solution for that as well. But the main issue that we're solving for is surplus food.
But the thing that's interesting to me is that it's not just like here in LA. This thing started overseas, and I think you were telling me that the headquarters is in Denmark?
Yeah, so we were founded in Copenhagen, Denmark. In Copenhagen, I think that there are 8 million people, and we have about 7 million app downloads, so it's super popular throughout Europe. We're in 16 markets across Europe, Canada, and the U.S. We've been in LA for about 2 years now. We have more than 1,000 stores on the app, and we saved almost 1 million meals from waste, which is really fantastic. We are growing throughout California, too. We're in San Francisco. We're in Southern California, so you'll
see around. But
you're
still growing.
And so always growing.
So how well is it working here?
Yeah, it's working really well. The uptick has been fantastic. We're always calling on more businesses to join, though. So if you are a food selling business and you've heard about it or you're looking for a way to sell your surplus, you can go to toogoodtogo.com and sign up. It's super easy, very low barrier to entry. And if you're a consumer, just check it out. You only pay for what you purchase, so there's no subscription.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. So for people who have businesses out there, repeat that information.
Okay, so go to toogoodtogo.com.
Toogoodtogo.com.
There's a button that says For Business. Click that. If you put your info in, someone will reach out to you. They can onboard you remotely. You can check it out. We'll talk to you about the types of surplus that you have, how much you're actually throwing out to see what value there is to you and how much you could be making back, which is a great motivating factor. And then you'll also, as a business, be able to see the portal that shows you how much you've earned, how much you've diverted from waste, where you're getting extra consumers coming in. We hear from businesses all the time. They're getting additional consumers in store. On average, consumers spend about an additional $18 in store on additional food, which is great for those businesses. And we've also helped consumers save millions of dollars off food they'd pay full price for.
Interesting stuff. Sarah Soderoth, thank you very much for joining
us.
Good luck with this enterprise.
Thank you.
And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, another app that will be making a big splash as it changes transportation, possibly permanently. We'll have that discussion coming up right after the break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Our next app has to do with transportation. In fact, what some people believe is the future of transportation. You may have seen them driving around town, and if you haven't, you soon will. Waymo, the autonomous ride-hailing service, has expanded to Los Angeles and Santa Monica. Joining us to talk about that is Lauren Schwendeman. She's head of what they call user experience design for the app Waymo One. And Lauren, good to see you. How you doing?
Thank you, Hal. Good to see you, too. Good to be here.
I got to tell you, when I first saw these things, it was like, what are those? And now I kind of see them all over West L.A. When you bring up the name Waymo or mention self-driving cars, it seems like no one is neutral. Everybody either loves the idea or they hate the idea. Waymo started servicing Los Angeles a few months ago. So how has it been received?
Well, you know, we find that our riders really love our technology. It's a unique experience to get in a car all by yourself. But the privacy that you gain, you know, you don't have any other person to interact with or to make you feel uncomfortable. And it really, within minutes, the fact that the car is driving itself kind of becomes an afterthought. And so we found that our riders really love our service and really embrace it.
The other day I was up in Oakland visiting my daughter, and she has an electric car, and that electric car parks itself. And so we're pulling over to a curb, and all of a sudden, she's saying, Dad, watch this. And the car backs up, and I'm like, you know, I'm getting nervous. People must have some kind of a feeling when they first get into these vehicles because they don't see a person in the driver's seat.
Well, it's true that, you know, this technology is new, and People have questions. New technology takes getting used to, and of course, it's natural to have questions about it. But the Waymo driver is never distracted. The Waymo driver follows the rules of the road, is never drunk or drowsy, can see in 360 degrees all around the car. And so really, like I said, it doesn't take long to really say like, oh, look, this car knows what it's doing and it's a safer driver than people are. Really.
Okay, so we're in Los Angeles and you get on the 405 freeway and all of a sudden some yahoo decides to cut you off, pulls right in front of your car. How does the Waymo deal with that?
Great question. Well, the Waymo driver, doesn't have road rage. So the Waymo driver is really trained to handle any situation with safety in mind. We train on a lot of data. We have the same driver driving in many cities in the U.S. And so we have a lot of scenarios that we're able to train on. And it's really the world's most experienced driver.
But how does that device react to somebody that's cutting you off in front on the freeway or somewhere else?
Great question. So we have sensors that sense what's going on in the world, and then we're able to make decisions in real time about the information that it's sensing. So in that scenario that you just described, our driver has observed scenarios like that and can sense in real time adjustments that other cars are making and react.
It hasn't been flawless, though, right? There have been a few incidents here and there, right?
Our safety record is very strong. Things that can occur in day-to-day driving, but no serious incidents to date. And we've driven, last year in 2023, we drove 1 million miles rider only with our riders in the vehicle with no severe safety incidents.
We're
really proud of that.
Yeah, such an interesting concept. And how is accessibility built into the Waymo?
Well, we really consider accessibility from the start. We embrace what we call inclusive design, which means we consider the needs of all users, including those with disabilities, when we design our service. So our app works with screen reader technology. We offer wayfinding tools geared toward riders who are blind or low vision. We offer a button in the app where you can honk the horn to find the car when you're getting close to it. If you're blind or low vision, there's a listening mode in the car where the car can tell you what driving decisions it's making and why while it drives. And most importantly, we work with our riders who are blind and low vision to get their feedback. We work with our community partners. And we know there's still work to do, but building a safer and more accessible transportation option is really what inspires us. And so we're really motivated to offer transportation that people can use independently and really experience life-changing transportation.
So there are gig workers for other rideshare companies who may well be worried about losing their jobs. I mean, they have a right to be concerned, right?
We understand concerns that people have with any new technology and how it can change the landscape. We don't see, we see human drivers driving alongside autonomous vehicles well into the future. And we also see, we're optimistic about opportunities for new jobs that this kind of technology can spur and create, even jobs that we can't think of today. So we're excited about the safety that we're bringing. We think that there's a role to play for autonomous vehicles and human drivers in our future. And so we're really excited about the future that this will bring.
And there are other competitors out there. And even Elon Musk is talking about a self-driving taxi as well, right?
That's right.
So there's a lot in the future to look forward to, I guess. Where do you think Waymo can be improved? We only have about 30 seconds. What have you learned so far about it?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is that there's no human. It's one of the biggest amazing things about our technology is there's no human driver, but also there's no human driver. And so, you have to pay attention to where your pickups and drop-offs are. But other than that, and we're always looking to make those more convenient and more predictable and more expected and intuitive. And so we're working hard every day to make this service what people need in their everyday lives.
Just amazing stuff. It's just amazing stuff. I mean, next thing you know, we got the flying cars coming somewhere. So, right, Lauren? All right, Lauren Schwendeman, thank you very much for joining us. Lauren from Waymo. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we continue our discussion on Waymo with a couple of guests who have unique points of view on the rideshare service. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Just this week, an open letter to the public supporting the state's approval of the Waymo autonomous taxis has been released. And you can see the whole thing on our website, foxla.com. In it, more than a dozen groups suggested that autonomous vehicles can help make our roads safer, more inclusive, and sustainable. Among the signatory safety groups such as Street Racing Kills, whom we've spoken with on this show before, Streets Are For Everyone, and several disability rights groups, such as the National Federation of the Blind for California. We have a couple of representatives of those groups with us right now, Damian Kevitt with Streets Are For Everyone, and Robert Steigel of the National Federation of the Blind. Welcome to both of you. So glad you're with us. And, you know, as we've been discussing, there are wildly differing opinions about the advent of these safe driving taxis, but you both are definitely in favor. So first of all, let me ask Damian what your feeling is. And you had a very personal reason for starting your group. Tell us what that reason was.
Yeah, so Streets Are For Everyone was founded after my own tragedy in February of 2013. I was cycling in Griffith Park. I was hit by a driver, pinned underneath the car, dragged nearly a quarter of a mile from the streets onto and down the 5 freeway speeds. You can see some of the photos from me in the hospital. You can see I lost my right leg, nearly my life, but I'm alive. And from there, I have been working on road safety issues ever since.
And to you, why is Waymo an answer to road safety?
Well, you know, I can't say that Waymo is going to solve all road safety problems. But what we do know is that a majority of those being hit and killed, especially in the city of Los Angeles, are vulnerable road users, pedestrians and cyclists. And Waymo vehicles by stat are far safer than regular drivers. And, you know, it took me a bit to sort of feel comfortable with that technology. And I know that many people are going to take some time to feel comfortable with that technology. But, you know, when I really got to learn and we've been working with Waymo to sort of make sure that vulnerable road users are taken into account and, you know, being safe around a Waymo vehicle. And I'm truthfully quite impressed with how it deals with, especially with vulnerable road users.
Well, let's talk to Robert here. You're with the National Federation of the Blind. You're blind, correct? Fully blind?
Yes, sir. I am blind, yes.
Okay. And so, why do you like Waymo?
Well, for me, as a person who travels with a guide dog every day, and many of us in the National Federation of the Blind who travel with guide dogs, have issues with Uber and Lyft and even taxis that still exist. And with Waymo, there's no there isn't a driver to deny us a ride. And so we can just request our ride through the app, get in the vehicle, get to where we're going, and be done. And there's no issues. So that's why we support this.
Let me ask you, I mean, and forgive the simplicity of this question, but the app itself, are there difficulties when you're blind trying to deal with an app on the phone?
It depends on the app. If a company such as Waymo has made it accessible, then there are no issues. Uber and Lyft, their apps are very user-friendly as well. There are apps out there that are not very friendly to blind people because the coding hasn't been done properly. But some of these rideshare apps, Waymo, Uber, Lyft, they're all user-friendly.
Yeah, I guess the other question, the lack of a human to assist with any potential surprise, Robert, is that a problem?
It's not, and the reason I say that is because, so there, for instance, with Waymo, there's a way of knowing where our vehicle is. So all we have to do is request a honk, and the horn will start going off until we get to the vehicle. So, I mean, it's very easy to find it. With Uber and Lyft, it's more difficult because they could pull up and be sitting there, and we have no idea that they're there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm assuming that both of you have ridden in a Waymo. Your experience, Robert, could it have been better? Has it been 100% great?
Well, sir, I have to be honest with you. I haven't ridden in a Waymo yet. I'm planning to do that very soon. I have some friends that have ridden Waymo vehicles, and I've seen how they work. I know the ins and outs of them, so I have that experience, but I will get my experience with a Waymo vehicle very, very soon.
Okay. Damien, let me ask you about accessibility. What about, you know, people who need things like walkers and wheelchairs and things like that? Is that at all problematic?
So what I do know is that Waymo vehicles, and this is something that really, to their credit, they've really gone out of their way to include as much accessibility and to make it so that it is accessible to as many people as possible. And the current Waymo vehicle, as far as I know, can't necessarily accommodate a wheelchair, but I also know that they have ways of accommodating wheelchairs besides their current vehicle. So they're even looking at wheelchairs as an issue, and how do you do that? And so, you know, I do see that they're very proactive about looking at all of these different issues as they've been working with me, especially on, you know, vulnerable road users and making sure that that's taken into consideration in
yeah.
that.
But Damien, let's say that you have a wheelchair and you're in some other rideshare vehicle that has a human driver. That driver might help you fold up the wheelchair, put it in the trunk of the vehicle. Here, you don't have somebody to help you with that.
Yeah, and you know, actually, this was something that I was learning about fairly recently with Waymo, is they do actually have a workaround where they can accommodate those with wheelchairs. And it is not the actual Waymo vehicle that you're seeing right now on most of these things, but it is another way of doing that. I haven't done that myself. I don't use a wheelchair, so I can't say how easy it is. But they do actually have that workaround of how do you use the service and accommodate those in wheelchairs.
Okay, very good. I really appreciate both of you being here. I guess it's important to point out that these are not available everywhere in Los Angeles. They are in Santa Monica, parts of Los Angeles, not everywhere. And they're not licensed yet to go to any of our airports. So that's not a possibility as well at this point. Again, thanks so much for joining us. Fox 11 News In Depth continues right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.